Once upon a time, corporate executives bought politicians by stuffing their pockets with cash, land, or corporate stock. As Andrew Schockett tells us, such bribery was widespread and well-known in the 19th century. But as he also notes, although less blatant today, the president and members of Congress are still on the take.
There's bad news and worse news about American politics. The bad news is that Congress and the president are selling out the federal government to corporate bigwigs. The worse news is that the sale may last a long time. In the late 19th century, corporate leaders stuffed politicians' pockets with cash, land, or corporate stock. But with the exception of recently convicted Representative James Traficant, no member of Congress has been caught getting his palms greased in a generation. Don't be fooled. The president and nearly every member of Congress are on the take because getting elected is expensive business nowadays. Today's bribes come in the form of legal campaign contributions, which everybody in Washington knows but will not admit. For a long time in the nation's history, from the 1860s to the 19-teens, the selling of the government was even more brazen than it is now. Mining and logging companies gained free rein to scar and pollute federal property. Railroad companies boldly bought congressional votes for huge federal land grants in the form of gifts of land along the routes of the tracks. Government for sale. Today's politicians are no cleaner than yesterday's. This June, the Republican Party hosted a fundraiser that pharmaceutical corporations paid $250,000 each to attend, 2 days after Republicans unveiled a prescription drug plan written by the drug companies. Democrats are no better. In the 2000 election, high-tech firms gave over $20 million to Democratic candidates. This July, an industry lobbyist told Democratic senators that he's keeping score on how each one votes and will use the scores to decide who gets future campaign funds. Government for sale. In the late 19th century, the presidency was up for sale, too. Corporate barons invoked the support of presidents to use the National Guard to put down labor strikes, a vicious kind of corporate downsizing. Nor is today's White House exempt. Like his late 19th century predecessors, President Bush coddles the big businesses that contributed to his election. The administration's energy plan has the fingerprints of oil and coal company executives all over it. Government for sale. What ended the first government sale? Republicans and Democrats alike responded to voters' growing rage. Presidents Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard Taft and Congress passed reforms limiting the political influence of corporations. During World War I, President Woodrow Wilson leaned hard on executives to restrain their greed for the good of the war effort. Fast forward. This summer, President Bush left the war talk to Vice President Cheney while Bush hit the fundraising trail, and the recently passed campaign finance laws riddled with loopholes. That first government sale ended after half a century of corporations exploiting working people, cheating consumers, swindling stockholders, looting the federal treasury, crushing competitors, and raping the environment, a list sadly similar to headlines that now appear almost daily. The question now is not whether the nation has entered into another government sale, but how long it will last, and what will be left when the sale is finally over.